This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday, the 22nd of May, 2022. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. Our readers today are Ros Lydiard.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
And Claire Porter.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter for this week, Peter Lydiard. So we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you've got a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Liz Legris. The contact number is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And as you remember, please, that if when you listen to the recording, you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the other tracks if you want to listen again. And if you've got a computer or a tablet, you, as well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recordings from the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. You just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, with the most recent first on the list. Now, our headline stories this week are Tesco night worker appointed city mayor, more calls for action over parking abuse, aggressive swans moved, and report slams jail violence. So on to the next line, the first headline story from Buzz.
I have Tesco night worker appointed as city mayor. A new mayor has been appointed to serve Winchester, and he is Winchester through and through. Councillor Derek Green was appointed the 823rd mayor at the annual council meeting last Wednesday. The ceremony saw Councillor Green take over from Councillor Vivian Archwall as mayor for 22-23. The meeting also saw Councillor Martin Todd officially made leader of Winchester City Council, replacing Councillor Lucille Thompson. Angela Clear is appointed deputy mayor for a second time. Councillor Todd proposed former Stanmore school pupil Councillor Green for mayor, and he said, "Derek is a Winchester man through and through. He joined the Royal Navy at 16, and when he returned to Winchester, he worked in a variety of jobs, including as a milkman, a taxi driver, and a bus driver, and now working at Tesco. He joined the council in 2012 and has been the chairman of the Winchester branch of the Royal British Legion for 22 years and raised over £250,000 with the Poppy Appeal. He has worked the night shift at Tesco for at least 19 years. The Wainfleet singers gave a performance before the new mayor returned to the stage. Councillor Green said his designated charities would be Winchester Hospital, the St Trinity Centre and the British Heart Foundation. Councillor Todd was elected as the new leader of the council, having been proposed by former leader Councillor Thompson. Councillor Todd then announced his cabinet as follows. Councillor Paula Ferguson, deputy leader and cabinet member for community and housing. Councillor Kelsey Learney, cabinet member for the climate emergency. Councillor Thompson, cabinet member for business and culture. Councillor Margot Power, cabinet member for finance and value. Councillor Jackie Porter, cabinet member for place and the local plan. And Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, cabinet member for service quality. The leader confirmed he would take responsibility for asset management. The news of the new cabinet comes as Councillor Thompson announced another decision to step down after 7 years as Liberal Democrat leader and 3 years as leader of the City Council. Councillor Thompson said, "I'm very pleased to be proposing Martin as our new leader. He has been a hard-working councillor in the city for many years and was the architect of our recent election victory." He also wrote the ambitious and positive manifesto that helped give us 9 out of 14 seats in the election and maintain our control of the council. As cabinet colleague, Martin was responsible for delivering a whole range of initiatives, including some of the fastest growing recycling levels in the country and the pedestrian station of the square.
Thank you, Ros. Richard, please.
Yes, more calls for action over parking abuse. Parking chiefs have once again been accused of inaction as permit misuse continues to blight residents across Winchester. The City Council recently came under fire for failing to deal with problem parkers acquiring visitors' permits to flout the rules in Winnall. The Council has said it regularly patrols parking zones and investigates any reports of violations. However, Dr. Les Burwood of Sleepers Dell Gardens has accused council bosses of offering a bland reply to appease residents when such breaches are reported. Dr. Burwood has said he's faced a long-running conflict with students leaving their cars dangerously parked in the roads surrounding the university, sometimes for months on end. "My short close is nearly always jam-packed with cars owned by students that don't live here," he said. "Many display visitor permits day and night for months and months. They obviously live nearby and have bought them or have been given them from those who do. They're certainly not short-term visitors." Dr. Burwood added, "Some arrive in the morning and then go home later in the day. Others are here continuously. Many block access to refuse vehicles and ambulances through careless parking. Easy access to my own drive is often blocked by students' vehicles, and attendants say there is nothing they can do," which is, of course, complacent. "They can't be bothered, even when they do show up in our road. I haven't seen an attendant here for several months, although the office claims to patrol regularly. Again, something contradicted by simple observation. Worst of all, I've personally faced abuse from students when challenging them about parking problems. I can more than stand my ground, but other residents are cowed into silence." City Council leader Martin Todd previously paid a visit at the request of angered residents to discuss the possibility of implementing double yellow lines, something Dr. Burwood insists is richly needed, but he thinks any progress has since been lost in legal bureaucracy. Earlier this month, the Chronicle spoke to Alice May, a long-term resident of Winnall Manor Road, who said postal workers and care providers often use permits displaying addresses from across the estate to park for stints of up to 12 hours at a time. She said, "I think the council just walk past, see a permit and don't think to check it properly. If the traffic warden spent a bit more time actually reading the permits, they'd see for themselves." A council spokesperson said, "We regularly patrol our parking zones across the district and investigate any reports of parking violations received. Since January the 1st, we've issued 83 penalties for contravention of parking regulations in the Winnall area, with over a third of those being for Winnall Manor Road. We will now particularly monitor the use of care provider exemption letters for providers situated in Winnall and encourage local residents who believe permit misuse to be taking place to report it to us at parking@winchester.gov.uk. Regarding Sleepers Dell, a council spokesperson added, "We've patrolled this particular location over 40 times in the last 12 months, but only found 8 instances where penalties were issued to vehicles. The most recent penalty was issued on May the 20th. Hampshire County Council has approached for comment, but has yet to respond.
Thank you, Richard. And Claire, please.
Aggressive swans moved. 7 swan eggs were destroyed by Winchester College under licence from Natural England, the Chronicle can confirm. The licence, which was released to the paper by the government agency, permitted the oiling or pricking of the eggs as part of the removal of 2 swans from the stretch of the Itchen Navigation near Wharf Hill. Natural England said it granted the licence after the college submitted evidence of several incidents where the cob was attacking members of the public, animals and boats. A Natural England spokesperson said, after a careful review of evidence, Natural England granted a licence to relocate a pair of swans away from the River Itchen navigation. There had been a number of incidents where a male swan, a cob, was attacking members of the public, animals and boats. And after alternative measures were unsuccessful, the licence was granted to protect people using the Itchen navigation and to ensure the welfare of the swans by preventing further occurrences. We consulted and worked with the Queen's Royal Swan Marker to ensure that the swans were safely and suitably moved to another area where they are now being looked after. However, nature enthusiasts have accused the college of acting immorally and within its own interests. People were first alerted to the swan's disappearance earlier this month after a sign appeared by the stretch of the canal where the 2 swans had been incubating their unhatched cygnets. The sign said professionals had moved the swans and their nest to an approved alternative habitat following expert advice. Winchester College initially failed to confirm whether the eggs had been destroyed as part of the operation. However, reports quickly began to circulate online suggesting they had been oiled or waxed. Ronan Hayder, a student, said he had been attacked by the swan. In a comment on the Chronicle website, he said, "The swans have caused multiple severe injuries." But Esme Holding, a retired nurse, insisted the swans' behaviour had been provoked by college students and staff, and it was only acting to defend its nest. She said, "I think the college is acting immorally." A spokesman for Winchester College said, "The college has consulted closely with Natural England. All swans remain protected by the Crown, and Her Majesty's Swan Marker has also been involved. The expert advice was that the best outcome for the swan, as well as for members of the public, would be its safe relocation."
Thank you, Claire. Now, my headline piece is headed "Report Slams Jail Violence." Winchester Prison remains one of the most violent jails in the country, according to prison inspectors. Inspectors from the Prison Inspectorate issued a hard-hitting report yesterday after an unannounced inspection in February. Conditions are little changed since its previous visit in 2019, and chronic problems remain, including violence, recruitment and poor facilities. Senior managers have been criticised for failing to show enough real, sustained grip. It's the latest in a string of adverse reports, including by the prisoners' own watchdogs, the Independent Monitoring Board. The new report said, "At our last inspection in 2019, we found a prison struggling with high levels of violence and which was providing prisoners with very little time out of cell. On our return, we were disappointed to find that, despite some limited progress, our healthy prison test scores remained the same." Winchester continued to be one of the most violent prisons in the country. Chief Inspector Charlie Taylor added, Winchester remains one of the least safe prisons in the country. Incidents were not always investigated to help leaders gain a full understanding of the underlying causes of violence to enable them to devise a responsive strategy. Staff were unfamiliar with some key processes, and the culture of the prison did not motivate good behaviour. The prison's work at education and rehabilitation is being hampered by a lack of staff and difficulty in recruiting. It added, while there has been impressive work to reduce the risk posed by some of the most violent prisoners, there was no meaningful strategy to understand and address the causes of violence within the main population. Most prisoners were locked in their cells for 22 and a half hours a day, and even more at the weekends. The enthusiastic education managers were very frustrated by the prison's inability to get prisoners to classrooms and workshops, both consistently and on time. This made it impossible to plan work programs because they did not know who, if anyone, was going to turn up each day. On the staffing difficulties, the report stated, the prison had struggled to recruit and retain enough staff, and this problem was directly affecting the day-to-day running of the jail, where at times there were simply not enough officers to ensure that even the most basic regime for prisoners. Officers were frequently cross-deployed from the gym and the offender management unit, which meant access to these services was further reduced. Leaders will need to develop an understanding of why so many officers in an affluent part of the country with low levels of unemployment are leaving the prison and put in place some meaningful support to help retain good staff members during their first year of service. A prison service spokesperson said, the pandemic created huge challenges for HMP Winchester, but the restrictions in place to keep staff, inmates and the wider community safe from COVID have now been lifted, so the greater focus can now be put on training and rehabilitation to cut crime. Well, those were our headline stories. What follows now is the death notices, and that will be followed by Christian comment. Ros, can we have the first announcement, please?
Yes. Billimore, Peter Billimore, peacefully on the 16th of May 2022, aged 84, formerly of Fox Lane, Stanmore.
Foster. The Reverend James Williams Foster, Jim, passed away on the 18th of May 2022, aged 89 years.
Harp, Jean Marina Harp, or Marina? I think Marina Harp, passed away peacefully on the 8th of May 2022, aged 87 years.
Harvey, Robert William Harvey, passed away at home on Wednesday the 27th of April 2022.
Locke, Maureen, nay, Stapley, Locke, passed peacefully in Winchester on the 11th of May, aged 71.
Stickland, Brian Stickland, peacefully in Winchester on Monday 9th of May 2022.
Umland, Rodney Umland, passed away peacefully on the 8th of May 2022, aged 95.
Wardle, Marjorie Joan Wardle, peacefully at home with her family on Sunday the 15th of May, aged 88. And now we move on to Christian comment, which is being read by Claire, please.
This is headed Finishing Well. Last Sunday morning, I had the privilege of visiting West Wiltshire Vineyard Church in Trowbridge, where a momentous pastoral succession was taking place. The service was a brilliant mix of songs, prayers, stories, encouragement, tears, and cake. Well, there we are. The new pastors, Mark and Meg, were officially commissioned with vows and the laying on of hands. They will wonderfully lead the church into its next season with vision and energy and grace. The previous week, the celebration of the outgoing pastors had gone long, extending way beyond 2 hours, as person after person stepped forward to share their stories. They spoke of arriving broken, being treated with respect, cared for with kindness, and loved unconditionally. They had found this church to be a community where they could experience the love of God in so many meaningful ways. 2 decades ago, this church did not exist at all. Jason and Sam Wiley were both teachers, volunteering in another church in their spare time, who happened to start a small group in their town, which quickly became a church plant. With virtually no experience, they sought to keep it simple and biblical, and waited to see who God would bring through the door. The church grew steadily over time, meeting in a local school for many years, until eventually acquiring a building in 2018. Like many churches, they have an active food bank, which, over the years, has provided 21,000 meals for those in need. That's equivalent to half of the population of Trowbridge. Reflecting on their story, Jason reminded the congregation, "Our actions have to align with our words. We are here for other people and not just for ourselves." The heartfelt gratitude shown to Jason and Sam as they prepared to move on was genuinely moving and completely inspiring, as is the way that they have carried themselves throughout the past 18 years. They have invested their heart and soul, made inordinate sacrifices, and stayed the course through many ups and downs. It reminds me of Eugene Peterson's phrase, "a long obedience in the same direction." In his second pastoral letter, the Apostle Paul encourages his protege Timothy with this advice: "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And that's 2 Timothy's words 4 and 5. The Greek word translated here as "fulfill" means to bear or bring full, to carry through to the end, to accomplish. In a culture which focuses on short-term wins and quick fixes, Jason and Sam have demonstrated incredible longevity, where some will try and hold on to position for their own gain. These two have modelled humility and otherness. They have fulfilled their ministry and can step away with gratitude and peace. There are some serious lessons there for all of us. When I get to the end of my current role, or any role to be honest, I want to be able to say the same thing, that I have served God, given it my all, made the sacrifices necessary, run my race, and finished well. And even more than that, I want others to say it too. And that was written by Nigel Hemming.
Thank you, Claire. Now we move on to letters to the editor. It's a mixed bag of letters this week. Ros, can you start with the first letter, please?
Yes, I've got quite a sweet appeal. This is lovely. It's excuse me. It's headed "Help Hedgehogs." A pair of hedgehogs visited our patio every evening at the same time for about 2 years. The special hedgehog food was fed to them, and they would take it in turns to polish it all off. Last year, a small baby hedgehog accompanied the team. The baby is fat and roly youngster. Last week, they stopped coming, and I doubt all of them had a very grisly end, and at least I really hope not. This morning, it occurred to my husband that there may be someone in the area who put new fencing up and not thought to burrow openings at their base here and there. There are hedgehogs opening all over our boundaries, so it is for this reason it's happened further away beyond our adjoining neighbours. Please, could I make an appeal through those with or without thinking about new fencing? And to property developers particularly, please do consider making a few small openings for these delightful creatures to get through. I have read that they travel to up to a mile each evening in search of food. It would be wonderful if we could help them. And that was written by Eliza Sandurian, Downside Road, Tegdown, Winchester.
Thank you, Ros. Richard, please.
This comes from Rob Humby, leader of Hampshire County Council. Serving Hampshire is and always will be my most important duty. On Thursday, May the 19th, I was honoured to be elected as the new leader of Hampshire County Council at its AGM. I recognise it as a great privilege to lead one of the premier councils in the country, and I wish to pay full tribute to the achievements of my predecessor, Keith Manns, who performed the role diligently over the past 3 years. I would also like to set out to your readers my wholehearted commitment to our county and the people of Hampshire as I take up this new role. Since becoming the Hampshire County Council for Bishops Waltham in 2013, I've held cabinet responsibility for economy, transport and environment, took up the position of deputy leader from May 2019. I am Hampshire through and through. My family has been in Hampshire for 450 years. I've lived in the county all my life and own several small businesses here. I am passionate about doing the best for the people, businesses and places that make Hampshire a great county. My vision for Hampshire is to maintain our county as a successful, prosperous and attractive place to live, work, study, play and visit, balancing economic success with care for the environment for the benefit of generations to come. I believe that a strong economy is essential to support excellent public services, provide high quality and inclusive employment and business opportunities, and to bring prosperity to all of the Hampshire's communities. As County Council leader, serving the people of Hampshire is and always will be my most important duty, and I look forward to working positively and constructively with all our partners and local communities to seize every opportunity to work differently and better for the benefit of people and places in our wonderful county. Rob Humby, leader, Hampshire County Council, The Castle, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. And Claire, please.
This is headed King's Walk. I fully endorse Kate McIntosh's comments regarding the new barriers around the outdoor tables at the entrance to King's Walk, Chronicle Letters, May the 19th. They would be more appropriate in a suburban estate than this important town centre space. If the intention is to deter groups of homeless people from gathering there or in bus shelters, maybe Winchester needs to look at the provision of a more attractive draw, such as a daily drop-in centre as part of Central Winchester regeneration. I understand that Lewis has such a scheme, Lewis Open Door, for homeless vulnerable and social isolated people. These people are still part of society and should be included in social amenities in the same way as other citizens. And that's from Anne Roberts, Avenue Road, Full Flood, Winchester.
Thank you, Claire. My letter is headed Stop the Changes to King's Walk, and it's written by Terry Gould. First, congratulations to Martin Todd becoming leader of Winchester City Council, and especially to the changes he's made to the Cabal, oblique cabinet. Much needed. Perhaps now there can be real progress with developing Silver Hill. The construction of a rather ugly paling fence at the entrance to King's Walk is not really progress. May I suggest the proposed temporary changes to King's Walk be stopped? Leave it alone and wait until the whole development of the area is proposed. It is acceptable as it is, and no doubt will be radically changed in the development. So why waste more money on temporary measures? Also, the idea of developing more performance space there to attract young people is possibly not very sound. Young people come here to university and then most likely will return home when they finish their studies. A bit of a performance space will not keep them in Winchester. Try building some less expensive housing instead. Progress hopefully can be made on demolishing the old Friarsgate Medical Centre. Planning permission for the demolition should be completed by now. Then get on. Restore the Lower Brook in conjunction with the Wildlife Trust. Not a very great expense and great for the environment, and put in a simple walkway to connect up to the Broadway. But perhaps we can look forward to some real progress now with the new council. That was written by Terry Gould, Fairfield Road, Full Flood, Winchester. And Ros now, please.
Yes, this one is headed Children in Care. The care system exists to support children who cannot live with the birth parents or do not have a stable and supportive home life. At its best, it can protect children from harm and help them recover from traumatic early experiences. At Barnardo's, we know from our direct experience supporting children in the care across the South is one of the greatest challenges they face, and it's still instability. For far too many children living in care can feel like being bounced around a system with frequent changes of home, leaving them feeling endlessly unsettled. Through the work of our regional family hubs, we know it is possible to help families to access crucial support, also be a thing for things which arise as a crisis point. The key is early support. We want to see the government provide more early support for the country's most vulnerable families so that children can have the easier childhoods and more positive futures. The number of children in care now sits at a record high for over 80,000 people in England. And 80,000 people in England alone, and many of these young people carrying burdens that their young shoulders should not have to bear. And that's by Lynn Berry, MBE, Chief Executive, Barnardo's, Ilford, Essex.
Next letter from Richard, please.
And this comes from Gertrude Walton, and is called New Thinking. In my letter, Chronicle May the 12th, I stated that you're putting Winchester, England on the map of history. I expected a feedback similar to that of 30 years ago, and that this would start a new era of thinking. As a German, I admire the sound scepticism of the British people. My generation, I'm 92, had to wake up to this virtue by the loss of trust in our parents and teachers during the Nazi rule and the whitewashes afterwards. The relativity paradox of 1905, in itself simple, a mistake in elementary geometry, opens a rich mine for writers because of its context. Logicians and mathematicians lost in abstractions. There followed an alarming descent into mystagoguery and gullibility. If unchallenged, this sore will continue to fester. What could be nicer than the germ for rational thinking to start here, in this lovely city, cultural capital of Hampshire? After decades of correspondence with experts and hundreds of professional protesters still alive, I am now better prepared for feedback. An opening not to be wasted. Gertrude Walton, Hyde Street, Hyde, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. Yes, Claire, please.
Well, this letter is headed Restore Wessex. Even before the latest revelations of alleged drunken shenanigans at Number 10, the veteran Conservative MP, Sir Roger Gale, and Ruth Davidson, the former leader of the Scottish Conservatives, were calling on the Prime Minister to resign. Boris Johnson is not the real problem. He is a symptom of a broken system. Government from Westminster is unravelling. The chaotic state of the NHS, although driven by ideology, reflects the chaos at the centre of government. Increasing centralisation is clogging up the arteries of the state. Northern Ireland has particular difficulties, but Scotland, oblique Alba, Wales, oblique Cymru, are evolving in positive ways. Wessex, oblique West Sex, could too. It is a comparatively large country which includes cities such as Guildford, Reading, Slough, Bedford, Northampton, Worcester, Bristol, Southampton, Buckingham, Oxford, and others. Bristol is not central geographically, but it is the most prominent, which points to it becoming the capital city. We will need restored West Sex to ride out the coming storms. West Wales, Devon and Cornwall, could throw in its lot with West Sex, or go its own way. It is not too small. Look at the Isle of Man and the Channel Islands. Robert Craig, the Wessex Representation League, Priory Road, Weston-super-Mare, Somerset.
Well, yes, an extraordinary letter. I've got another really quite extraordinary letter here. It's written by Chris Gillam, and it's headed Sins of Fathers. What did you do to try and stop the great climate catastrophe and mass extinction, Grandpa? Oh, I was the MP for Winchester, and I invited my old friend Alex Sharma down, and he told everybody how we were going to restrict the global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees centigrade. But he didn't, did he, Grandpa? No, but he said the government had a plan to reduce carbon. But it didn't, did it, Grandpa? In fact, it had lots of plans to make the problem worse. Like what? Well, like building roads, subsidising petrol consumption, opening new oil fields and coal mines, and expanding airports. Oh, and putting people in prison who tried to stop them. Yes, I encouraged all that. What? Why? I can't remember now. I'm too hot to think. Let's go down to the cellar and get cool. The cellar's flooded, Grandpa. And that letter was written by Chris Gillam, the Upper High Street, Winchester.
This is extraordinary.
It is. And now Rose has the last letter, please.
I do. It's Force at School. The force is strong at Prince's Mead. We chose to celebrate the message of Star Wars. The one person can change the future, and love and compassion for conquering all. We thought it would be fun to have a Wookiee to be a Wiki at the afternoon cricket match, to see Stormtrooper, Princess Leia and Chewbacca visit the upper school and teach the values of the Jedi throughout the world. We studied the work of the Jedi, and most of John Williams' music was behind all our efforts. It was terrific to see how children and parents too use proper culture as an honour for learning. I'm sorry, that wasn't clear on my script. We sincerely thank and express yourself, Costume Hire in Southampton, for the costumes. And that's from Leela Bennett, Princess Mead School, Abbot Worthy.
Thank you, Roz. I think as we expressed during that piece, it was an extraordinary bunch of letters, but there you go. Now, if you've got an opinion or a subject that you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. It is 01962 860836, or you can email them at news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Right, we now move on to editorial comment, and it's read by Richard, please.
Yes, and this is all about the recent prison report, and it's headed "One of the Most Violent Jails in the UK." Not for the first time, this column has considered the shocking state of affairs at Winchester Prison. Several times over recent years, inspectors have gone into the jail and written hard-hitting reports about the violence that has become endemic. The latest report published yesterday states starkly, Winchester continued to be one of the most violent prisons in the country. The root cause would appear to be staffing shortages and a constant turnover of staff, with many lasting less than a year. The rot started to set in after the financial crisis in 2008-09 saw deep cuts in the prison service, and those shortages have never been rectified. There have been calls for the site, a prime piece of real estate, to be sold for development and the proceeds used to fund a new modern prison somewhere else in Hampshire. That sounds attractive, but unless the financial squeeze which created the vicious circle of violence is addressed, it will simply move from a crumbling Victorian jail to a modern 21st century one.
Right, we now have the opinion piece, which is written this week by Khalid Aziz, and it's headed High Street Blues. It's 9 o'clock on Saturday, bank holiday weekend. It's the end of the month. Wallets and purses are full. Invited by our chief constable to experience policing at first hand, I turn up at Andover Police Station for a night shift, hopefully to give me an insight into the night time economy. That's bars, clubs and pubs to you and me. I'm met by the shift sergeant, who, in her early 30s, has swapped banking for policing. She looks young, until I'm ushered into the crew room to meet the PCs under her charge. They are impossibly young, some just 21. Many of our student coppers still learning the ropes. In this crew room, at least, there is a refreshingly equal split between men and women, so there is less likely to be much room for the sexist banter and misogyny that still hits the headlines in the tabloids. I am told not much is likely to happen before 11:30 p.m. Well, this is good, as officers have to write up cases from last night's shift. The paperwork is streamlined by computers, but there's still much repetition still in the form filling. It might help too if among the myriad of courses young officers are offered, touch typing was seen as a basic requirement. Perhaps advanced artificial intelligence would make dictated reports more viable. Before the paperwork, the crew gather in the conference room with coffee and Sarge-supplied cookies and, yes, donuts. I recall Tony Soprano's characterisation of New Jersey's finest as the Donut Squad. But keep the thought to myself. They discussed yesterday's cases. Not much evil, just sadness born of poverty and deprivation, which Andover has in spades. I'm struck by the compassion the young officers apply to resolving situations. Neighbours had reported a 3-year-old, apparently home alone, half-dressed, who's appeared on their doorstep. There's obvious neglect. The mother's partner, but not necessarily the child's father, is found smoking weed in his garden shed. Mother's nowhere to be seen. Putting the needs of the child first, the officers, guided and supported by their sergeant, seek resolution, not prosecution. A far cry from the trumpeting, "Lock 'em up" headlines of the Daily Mail. It's time to go on patrol. I get the obligatory health and safety briefing, which includes an unnecessary warning to give any police dogs that might be called in to give them a wide berth. They are trained to bite hard. It's still early. I'm driven in a patrol car by two young female officers on tour of Andover's low spots. They know where all the usual suspects live. Back in the crew room, there are photos of known miscreants under headings such as drug dealers, drug users, shoplifters. Sadly, there's also a heading, recently deceased. Criminality shortens your life expectancy. Time to get out of the car and head for the clubs, conveniently concentrated a few yards apart on London Road. Well, so far, revellers are behaving themselves. Officers are on relaxed and familiar terms with the club doorkeepers, who seem themselves, compared to my youth, to have come a long way in terms of training levels. Then they were just bouncers. Midnight. I am under the wing of the two youngest male officers. Despite their youth, they are impressive. A middle-aged man has allegedly lamped a doorkeeper and has been pinned down by his colleagues. The police gently but firmly take over. "If I let you up, you're not going to kick off." The suspect complies and is held securely in handcuffs by one officer, while his colleague, already on the radio of the control room, finds out who they are dealing with. The man lives a few hundred yards away. They opt to take him home and sort it out when he is sober. Situation diffused. He can count himself lucky. He is policed in Hampshire, not Minnesota.
Oh.
Right, that was the opinion piece. Now we have one piece from Belgarum, which has been read by Claire, please.
Spotlight on Lesser Spotted Birds. A new book exploring Hampshire's rich ornithological history has been released. The county has a lengthy record of observing and studying birds, which can be traced back to the late 18th century, when Gilbert White wrote The Natural History of Selborne. John Clark, former county recorder at Hampshire Ornithological Society, has researched the records of rare birds from White's time to the present day. Many unpublished accounts of the discovery of rarities, as well as several amusing anecdotes, are included in the publication titled Rare Birds of Hampshire. An unrivalled collection of photos can also be found, complemented by a unique series of paintings and sketches of Hampshire's seldom seen birds as seen through artist Dan Powell's eyes. Keith Betton, country county recorder and chairman of the Hampshire Ornithological Society, said, "There are more bird watchers around now than in the old days. We have at least 2,000 people in the Hampshire Ornithological Society, and I suspect there are a few more out there with an interest in birds too. So some of these old records are really quite notable, and we have spent a lot of time digging them up and getting people to open the archives. We produced it ourselves. It has taken around 3 years, but it is completely a Hampshire product. Copies are £35 with an additional £3 P&P and can be ordered from www.hos.org.uk/book/.
Thank you, Claire. Gosh, that was a complicated, wasn't it? Now we move on to what's on, which might be of interest to you in the Winchester area over the next few days. There's an exhibition celebrating the influential design company Designers Guild, and that'll open at the gallery in the Arc Winchester. That used to be the Discovery Centre, which then used to be the Central Library. Founded by Patricia Guild, OBE, Designers Guild started life in 1970 as a small section of a single shop in Chelsea's King's Road. The spokeswoman for Hampshire Cultural Trust, which runs the gallery, said, "The brand has since evolved and grown into a global enterprise of bold, colourful, eclectic taste, whose products have changed the way we view colour, pattern, texture in our homes." So the rich riot of colours of Designers Guild will be exhibited across both the gallery and the city space at the Arc. Now, on Sunday the 29th of May, there's a craft fair and fun dog show. That is the Brickwork Museum, Swanwick. And it says here, "Bring the family, bring the dog, and join us for our annual early summer craft fair and dog show." So that's the Brickwork Museum at Swanwick Lane, Swanwick. On Wednesday the 1st of June, there's a presentation by Connor Jameson on the natural history of the goshawk, a mystery-shrouded bird of prey, how it lives, where it lives, and why it might be missing from our lives. That is at Shawford Parish Hall, Pearson Lane, Hampshire. So that is on next Wednesday. Now, before we go on to the items of general news, we have the lighting up times. The sun, if there is any, will rise shortly after 4 o'clock in the morning and set again around 8:45 p.m. Now we go on to the general news, and Ros, can we have the first item, please?
Yes, I have a nice positive one here. It's headed Youth Custody, Numbers Fall. The number of Hampshire children in custody has fallen by more than 70% over the past few years. The Youth Offending Team has been working to have young offenders put through intervention sessions instead. Also falling is a forecast reduction in the number of first-time offenders. The head of Youth Offending Team, Nikki Shave, said, "We believe that the number of first-time entrants in the criminal justice system will have soon fallen by 50%. It's probably the most important part of work we do. The number of children in custody has fallen from 28 per year a few years ago to just 8 in the past 12 months.
Thank you. Richard, please.
City property prices increase. I guess this is only really good news for people who are selling their homes,
yes,
and not
exactly
for those trying to buy them. But anyway, house prices increased by 3.3%, more than the average for the South East, in Winchester in March, new figures show. The boost contributes to the longer-term trend, which has seen property prices in the area achieve 14.7% annual growth.
Wow.
The average Winchester house price in March was £507,658. Land registry figures show a 3.3% increase in February. Over the month, the pitch was better than that across the southeast, where prices increased 1.1%, and Winchester outperformed the 0.3% rise for the UK as a whole. Over the last year, the average sale price of property in Winchester rose by £65,000, putting the area 16th among the southeast 64 local authorities with price data for annual growth. The best annual growth in the region was in Cherwell, where property prices increased an average of 22.1% to £378,000. At the other end of the scale, properties in Slough gained just 1.3% in value, giving an average price of £303,000. Owners of semi-detached houses saw the biggest improvement in property prices in Winchester in March. They increased 3.6% to £506,395 on average. Over the last year, prices rose by 16%. It's crazy, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
It just is.
Claire, please.
Farm open day and fate. Fun for all the family is promised at the Boers Project Open Day and Fete at Hill Farm in Sutton Scotney. Excuse me. There will be tractor rides, games, stalls, live music, strawberry cream teas, plant stall, and much more at the event, which takes place on Saturday, May the 28th, between 1 and 4 p.m. The Fete is an opportunity to learn about the inclusive farm-based project for adults with learning disabilities while enjoying time outside in the beautiful countryside. Hitting all the right notes will be the Eastleigh-based Riverside Concert Band, which performs everything from popular show tunes and pop medleys to traditional band marches. Stalls will be selling plants, books, craft items, chutneys and jams, while refreshments include homemade cakes and freshly baked pizzas. And there will be a chance to see several cute newborn lambs and resident donkeys. Manager Stuart Palmer said, "There will be plenty of opportunity for both adults and children to have fun, learn more about who we are and what we do, and come away with some useful plants for the garden, preserves and craft items which make wonderful gifts." The Boers Project, a charity, enables and encourages adults with learning disabilities to participate in farm-based activities, including growing high-quality fruit and vegetables and looking after 120 free-range egg-laying hens. Other activities include cooking, arts and crafts, and woodwork. Boers can be found along the A272, 3 miles north of Three Maids Hill roundabout in Winchester, and just 8 miles south of Andover.
Thank you, Claire. My news piece is headed Freddy's Folly, given listed status. It was once dubbed Freddy's Folly, but now the Hampshire Record Office in Winchester has been listed to celebrate the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. The archive building was opened in 1993 by the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh and is the newest to be listed. It was the brainchild of the then leader of Hampshire County Council, the late Freddie Amory Wallace. The building on Sussex Street is one of six across the UK listed by the Department of Digital, Culture, Media and Sport on Historic England's advice. The others include a theatre, a church, markers on the M62 with the aim to reflect the important social, technical and cultural changes which have taken place over the last 70 years. The Record Office was designed by Hampshire County Council architect Sir Colin Stanfield Smith in collaboration with County Archivist Rosemary Dunhill. Sir Colin's design used new thermal inertia building principles that allowed environmental control of the archival strongrooms. These principles had yet to be fully adopted into UK archive design. In recognition of its architectural achievements, the archive was awarded a regional RIBA award in 1994. The archive was formally opened by the Queen on November 19th, 1993, during which she unveiled a wall plaque on display in the main entrance. She was accompanied by Prince Philip, who commented on how the building resembled a cruise liner. Next piece, please, Ros.
Yes. An award-winning hair salon in Winchester is making a successful first half of the year by sponsoring good causes. Guy Kramer, Winchester, in Parchment Street, is run by internationally celebrated and award-winning Guy Kramer. Popular businessman Guy has run a salon in the city for more than 45 years. He said he was delighted to support Hairs of Hampshire, a spectacular public art trail that is coming to the city next month, which is raising money for the Murray Parish Trust. The trust was founded in 2014 by actors Sarah Parish and Jim Murray, and it works to improve medical care of children in the South. Guy has agreed to donate £1 from every client who visits the salon during the entire 10-week period that the Hairs of the Hampshire is running. I ought to add here to this piece that Hairs of Hampshire is spelt H-A-R. E-S, and not hair, as you might expect, H-A-I-R. Thank you.
And now Richard, please.
And more fun and games. Oh, care homes get ready for parties. Whee! Apparently. Preparations are underway for a host of fun at care homes in Winchester, with residents keen to celebrate the Queen's historic Platinum Jubilee. The bunting will be out and the flags will be flying during street parties at Colton Care's two homes in the city over the specially extended bank holiday weekend in June. In the run-up to the much-anticipated occasion, residents and staff at St Catherine's View and Abbots Barton have been busy making decorations, rehearsing songs to perform and planning games. They've also been sharing memories of the Queen's coronation and reign. Pat Bell, who lives at Abbots Barton, said, "I was in Malaysia at the time of the ascension and accession and coronation, as my husband was in the military. I remember it was a happy and positive time, with everyone looking to the future with a new queen. There were many parties as celebration of the coronation." Fellow Abbots Barton resident Gillian Canbrook remembers it being a cold day, and how many people chose to camp out in London so that they didn't miss anything. Well, I certainly remember it raining. Gillian said, "I remember watching it on the television in Scotland and the excellent rousing music that was played. Prince Charles was very young and boyish, and I recall how the Duke of Edinburgh bowed to the Queen, which I thought was such a lovely gesture. My children had a toy model of the state coach, which got broken. It would have been worth a fortune today." Jill South, a resident of St Catherine's View, said, "I went to watch the Queen's coronation in London. I travelled by train with my friend and we stood at the Mall waiting. We managed to push our way to the front of the crowd and saw the Queen as she went past. We waved and cheered at her. We waited until it had all finished for her to come back again. We all cheered and waved again. The crowd was massive. There was lots of cheering and waving of hands and flags. It was such a happy day. The Queen's done a great job after all these years and has done a lot for our country. I'm a huge fan of the Queen and all she's done." as well as their garden parties, Colton Care residents have been invited to gather for the planting of commemorative Jubilee trees at each of the operator's 21 homes in the south. Part of the Queen's Green Canopy National Tree Planting Initiative, every Colton tree will be accompanied by a plaque made by military veterans supported through the Royal British Legion's charity activities.
Thank you, Richard. Claire?
Bus from city centre to leisure park made free. A free bus service to Winchester's leisure centre has been reinstated after a successful trial. People will be able to get onto the park and ride buses at Broadway in Winchester city centre and travel for free to the Barfield Close Park and Ride Stop in Bar End. The move has been brought in by Winchester City Council as a way of encouraging people to go to the new leisure centre, which opened near to the park and ride side almost exactly 1 year ago. The centre, which has a swimming pool and fitness suite, plus more, and is run by Everyone Active, replaced the now defunct and empty site at River Park. This promised some This prompted some criticism from residents who felt they could not easily access the new site. So the council launched a free bus trial in October, which proved popular. Now the free service has been reinstated and made permanent, with passengers able to travel for free from Monday, May the 16th. Councillor Todd said the council was proud of the success of the leisure centre, with more than 650,000 people visiting it in the first year. If you haven't tried the leisure centre yet, he said, then please do.
Claire, I've got another news item about another building getting an award. A Winchester building has been included in regional awards from the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors, the RICS. Winners of the RICS awards in the South East have been revealed, and Burrell House is on the list. The winning projects, which include a cafe and residential centre, were judged across five categories: community benefit, public sector, refurbishment, revitalisation, residential and heritage. The restoration project, overseen by Region Partners, saw the refurbishment of Burrell House as the home of the new Winchester Hospice. The heritage building was restored, enhanced and given a new purpose, saving it from near certain demolition. There was no dedicated end-of-life accommodation in Winchester before this project completed. Burrell House provides a well-equipped and pleasant local facility for end-of-life patients and their loved ones, combining stringent clinical standards with the warm and welcoming look and feel of boutique hospitality. Now, Ros, please.
Yes. Sight Loss Charity Grant. A sight loss charity in Hampshire has been awarded £77,000 from the National Lottery Community Fund to continue information and advice hubs that support the health, well-being and independence of blind and partially sighted people in the next 3 years. Open Sight Hampshire runs sight hubs in Totten and Winchester, which offer technology support and independent living services. Located in central shopping areas and libraries, 1 day a month, the hubs allow people with sight loss to access the support they need by in the heart of their own community without having to travel long distances to unfamiliar places. As well as the groups in Totten and Winchester, the National Lottery Community Fund grant would enable groups to continue to run in the areas of the New Forest, Petersfield, Portsmouth and Basingstoke. People can drop in throughout without an appointment for a chat and get free impartial advice, assistance with the latest digital technology devices and gadgets to help them make the best use of the sight they have, so as to be as independent as possible in daily life and to communicate with family and friends, as well as contact with the wider world. Jane Beasley, project manager and Open Sight Hampshire, said the hubs are places where people with sight loss can learn to use the technology to make the best of the sight that they have, which will make a massive difference to their mental well-being. We are incredibly grateful for this and will bring more hubs to more people across Hampshire.
Thank you, Roz. Richard, please.
Driver shortages cause bus cuts. A bus company has said that driver and vehicle shortages have seen it scrap services in Winchester. Stagecoach South, in a tweet last Thursday, said, "Winchester, due to staff and vehicle shortages, there'll be some cancellations in and around Winchester. Sorry for any inconvenience caused." Several services have been affected. One bus driver, who did not want to be named, said, "The shortages are not just in Winchester or just Stagecoach. It's a nationwide problem. There simply aren't enough bus drivers."
Thank you, Richard. Now, Claire, please.
Church charity holds first summer party since 2019. More than 250 guests danced the night away at the Friends of St Cross summer party. It was a particularly joyful occasion, as it was the first time the party had been held since 2019 because of COVID restrictions. Guests enjoyed dancing to the live music of Atlantico under the exuberant guidance of salsa dancer Sergei Bondarenko. Sergei comes from Ukraine. He has recently managed to get his mother here from Ukraine, so it was a particularly pleasure to invite her to the party. A welcoming speech from Alastair Bruce, patron, followed a fizz reception attended by MP Steve Bryan and his family, after which guests picnicked under a marquee. More than £7,000 was raised through ticket sales, the bar, and a fabulous raffle. The Friends of St Cross organises talks, parties, and outings throughout the year. Where at all possible, the activities are fully wheelchair accessible.
Thank you, Claire. My piece is headed "Mayfest Returns to the City Centre." Winchester City Centre was awash with colour as scores of dancers turned out for the return of Mayfest. In what was the first celebration since 2019, the heart of the city was alive with over 30 dance teams performing different styles, including Morris and Appalachian Clog, on Saturday, May the 21st. Bands and buskers gave them plenty of music to dance to throughout the day. There was a full programme of events in St Lawrence Church, alongside dancing at St Morris's Covert and outside the Great Hall too. Some of the events on offer gave revellers the chance to join in with the festivities, including a stepping workshop and mass dance, presided upon by the newly elected mayor, Councillor Derek Green. Dance troupes could be spotted throughout the city centre in their distinctive outfits, including Hobo's Border Morris, a side of all-female border dancers, with a mixed band based in Poole, Dorset, who sported their traditional tiger print face paint for the occasion. Now, Roz, please.
Yes, complete change of subject. This is about trees being felled. Tree surgeons have felled and removed ash trees in Winchester city centre, writes Toby Oliver. The trees have been removed from Derngate opposite the Willow Tree pub. A small crane cut up the logs and stored them in a trailer ready to be taken away. A tweet from Winchester City Council said, "We'll be removing some dead ash trees from Derngate on Monday, May the 23rd. The trees need to be removed because they pose a danger to the public." A crane will be parked in the parking area in Derngate Terrace, opposite the Willow Tree. Apologies for any inconvenience. Ash dieback has become widespread across the district, and this year ash trees have been felled in a number of trees on Barfield Close in Winchester and on the A31 Orsford Road near Ladycroft.
Thank you, Ros. Richard?
Can you offer me some guidance,
everybody? Yes.
On how you actually pronounce Mitchell Dever, or is it Mitchell Dever? And the reason I ask, because there's a reference to the Dever or Dever River.
You say Dever, I say Diver.
I say Dever, Endeavour.
I'm going to say Dever, I think.
Go on. Go for it.
Tiny Hampshire Railway Station marks 180 years. A tiny railway station in Hampshire was host to a special event to mark 180 years since its opening. The event at Mitchell Dever Station on Sunday, May the 8th, had been postponed since 2020. Mitchell Dever Station is host to a tiny rural station steeped in railway history, which continues to play its part in the modern transport scene. In 1840, the difficult engineering work of tunnelling and construction of the embankment over the Dever River had been completed, enabling trains to run from Nine Elms uninterrupted to Southampton. Sir Thomas Baring, local landowner and chairman of the London and South Western Railway, supported a grand opening party. The event on Sunday, organised by local resident Sue Bell, looked to replicate this party 180 years on. Sue said, "The day is well worth waiting for. It exceeded all my expectations. Horse-drawn vehicles, Test Valley Brass Band took place, the Hurstbourne Tarrant Band of 1840. The Western Road Hotel has become the Dove Inn, but continues to provide a most hospitable welcome to all. The trains continue to provide a service, and the community can be justly proud of celebrating Mitchell Dever Station in style."
Thank you, Richard. Claire, please.
New shop in the High Street. A British lighting and furniture retailer has opened in Winchester High Street after redeveloping the former RBS Bank. Holloway's of Ludlow opened its doors in 6768 High Street in April after Chief Executive Officer Mark Holloway found a thriving gap in the market after seeing success in stores such as in Bath, London and Kent. Spanning over two floors and 3,500 square feet, the showroom features over 70 furniture brands. He said the response has been incredible. People come in and say that Winchester's been missing the quality and it feels a huge hole in the retail landscape. We work with the very, very top brands around the world with a Scandinavian focus. But lots of pieces we sell are design classics from the 20th century, handmade in Denmark, Spain, Italy, or Sweden. And many have been designed by some of the most famous designers in the past century.
Now the next item from Rods, please.
Yes. Got City Runners raise money for charity. Hundreds of people from across Winchester united against cancer on Sunday by taking part in the Race for Life. More than 500 residents laced up their running shoes and completed the 3K and 5K events in glorious sunshine at North Walls Recreation Ground. They raised £35,000 for life-saving research. Donations collected through Race for Life enable Cancer Research UK scientists to find new ways to prevent, diagnose and treat cancer, helping to save more lives. Andrew Bradley, 78, and Peter Sutton, 79, from Winchester, have both successfully been treated for prostate cancer and took part in their first Race for Life. Andrew said, "We've raised £2,800 because we know how important it is. We've both benefited from research in the past and want people to benefit in the future."
Thank you, Ros. Now, Richard, please.
Theatre group back after 2 years away. The latest production by local theatre group The Worthy Players has been performed more than 2 years after it was originally planned. Rehearsals for Cash on Delivery had to stop in March 2020 because of COVID and lockdown. The four-performance run ended on Saturday, May the 21st. The theatre group is part of the Worthies community and celebrates its 50th anniversary next year. It was originally founded in 1973 and has since performed more than 130 shows, including drama, comedy and music hall. It has a loyal following and has been supported by generations of local families. The plot focuses on Eric Swan, who's been scamming Social Security after losing his job. One lie leads to another, with hilarious consequences over one dramatic day when the inspector calls round. There were stunning performances from all of the cast, but special mention to Shirley Lovell, who brought many years of directing expertise to the production. She says this will be her swan song, having produced her first play as a brownie at the age of 8.
Thank you, Richard. Now our last news item from Claire, please.
This Marwell welcomes new chicks. Be ready for their names.
Yes.
Marwell Zoo is celebrating after all four nesting pairs have resident Humboldt penguins welcomed new arrivals. The chicks, who have all been named after nuts, arrived within a few days of each other and reflect a 100% success rate for this year's clutch. Peanut, pistachio, cashew and macadamia are expected to stay in their burrows for approximately 12 weeks, during which time their parents will take it in turns to feed them and watch the nest. Jupiter and Billy's chick, Peanut, hatched on April the 27th. Pistachio was the second of the new arrivals, meeting parents Lurch and Calippo, on April the 30th, and shortly afterwards, May the 5th, Macadamia hatched in Lucy and Buddy's nest. Cashew completed the crew on May the 8th to Jacko and Lily. Marwell Zoo senior birdkeeper Christopher Kent said, "Initially, the new chicks will have their natal down feathers, which are visible at the moment, but as they grow, they will go through several molt phases to get them waterproof and able to swim. Their final immature plumage is a pale grey, being lighter on the underbelly, but not clearly defined like the adults. Once the chicks leave the nest, the parents will continue to care for them on the pool for a few months at least. There will be lots of feeding and maybe a bit of squabbling to see amongst the colony, but this is all natural behaviour that we expect, especially with a bumper number of chicks this year. Humboldt penguins are native to the coasts of Chile and Peru and are listed as vulnerable to extinction on the International Union for the Conservation of Nature's Red List of Threatened Species." Sorry, that's a bit of a mouthful.
It is, isn't it?
"With populations decreasing. conservation charity Marwell Wildlife, which will receive the Queen's Award for Enterprise Sustainable Development in July, owns and operates the zoo. Marwell offers visitors the chance to get up close to amazing members of the animal kingdom, from Amur tigers to towering Rothschild's giraffes.
Thank you, Claire. Yes, I think it's fabulous to have chicks sort of named after nuts. And you can crack a joke about them. Thank you. Right, well, that's all we have time for this week. Before we go, another reminder that Liz Legris is the person to call. If you have any problems with your recording, her contact number again is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Thank you to all our support teams for the preparation, editing and dispatch of this edition. And, of course, many thanks to our readers, Roz.
Goodbye.
Richard.
Goodbye.
And Claire.
Bye.
And from me, until the next time, goodbye. So would you please put the memory stick in the wallet when you've finished and return it to us as soon as possible. Thank you.